are back. I am Andrew Langer in for Steve Gruber this morning. So glad you could join us today. I want to bring on our guest. His name is Peter Lucido. He is the prosecutor from Macomb County, Michigan, former state senate minority. Was it the majority whip or the minority whip? I have forgotten.
Majority. We were in the majority then.
There we go. Got it. Listen, either way, I had a 50-50 chance. I figured I would just ask. Listen, so we've got this situation here, and I should have brought it up in the three big things you need to know. We have this Nashville shooter, Audrey Hale. The police, there is some debate over whether or not the police should release her manifesto. LGBTQIA plus groups are saying she shouldn't. Or they shouldn't release it because I don't know for whatever. I think we can all assume why they don't want it released. I think it absolutely has to be released. I think we have to know what was going on in the mind of this person to really understand. Where do you come down on this idea of releasing this manifesto?
You know, releasing a manifesto or not releasing a manifesto, it comes back to the same idea of why are these shootings occurring and how do we prevent them? That's the two main issues. Why is it going on at the schools? Why does it always have to be where children and or students are? What's causing these episodes to occur? Is it something that happened in their lifetime, that happened in a school area that they're reflecting back on? But the real crux of it is, why is this occurring and how do we prevent it? That's what we need to get through. And you know what? I don't know if we can ever solve all of the puzzle, but we can probably put together a pretty good picture about how to prevent people that have mental illnesses putting weapons in their hands.
Right. Right. You know, listen, I know we're going to have Jerry Rogers on later on. I know Jerry has decided that if you identify as trans, you shouldn't have a access to a firearm. And I think it starts the conversation there. Peter, let me ask you this, you know, because I made this statement earlier about the risk calculus that a criminal makes in terms of hitting a target. I know we're not even just talking about a school, but you know, general crime. If a criminal thinks that the person they're attacking, their potential victim, is going to fight back, is going to injure them, is going to kill them, right? If they're potentially carrying a firearm, they make that risk calculus and decide that they're not going to go after that target. I mean, so what are your thoughts here about this issue of hard versus soft targets and what criminals decide?
They seem to be choosing, Andrew, gun-free zones, which means if they have that mindset of, I won't go into an area where I may be harmed, I'll go into where they are unarmed and I won't be harmed, that's the calculated risk that they may take. But the bigger point is this. If we have somebody treating for mental illness and we don't have a disclosure of some sort, how does a firearm dealer know that they shouldn't be selling somebody who's been treating for mental illness a weapon? And that's another deeper dive that needs to be asked at the legislature. Because if you're really going to put a red flag law into place, put it into place that has meaning and substantive. Sure, there's going to be some calculated risk of selling a gun to somebody. But if somebody loses a loved one and they start treating because they're in a state of depression for mental health, do we put them on some list that says they're not allowed to buy a gun?
Right.
We're gone too far sometimes. But the reality is in this case, the specific case from the all the smoke hasn't cleared yet. And it's an unfortunate and it's an unfounded kind of effort because could they have known that somebody was coming there with a gun? When Hale went there with the weapons, plural, and started, and these were serious weapons, again, started taking the liberty of shooting not only children but adults, you have to wonder, okay, what could have been prevented? What did we learn from this shooting or the Michigan State shooting that would have preserved or protected the lives of those that were lost?
Right, absolutely. Listen, let me shift gears for a second. We're talking with Peter Lucido. He's the Macomb County prosecutor. I want to shift gears and talk about a little bit about the Trump indictment. We had expected or thought we were going to get a Donald Trump indictment last week. The folks were salivating over this. Now NBC News is reporting no indictment this week. What do you think's going on? Do you think something's going to happen? What are your thoughts here?
Grand juries are secretive, which means you don't get a chance to have cross-examination. It is the most unique system where the prosecution puts in all their evidence and also has a chance to steer the case the way they show without anybody having the benefit of cross-examining and letting the jurors, the grand jury jurors, see another side of the picture. And that's why that we have, you know, cross-examination. But in a grand jury, it's a one-sided kind of system because only the prosecution gets to put it in. And there's been talk, and this is only talk because the grand jury is secretive to not go disclose or talk about a case outside the grand jury room. They're sworn to that. But it, let's face it, if you don't see, you just see a lot of smoke and there's no fire, they may not indict him based on the fact that you don't hear that, you know, this is thing is taking, it's taking too long. They're off, I guess, for another few more days here. And if the evidence is all submitted and you don't hear a lot of, you know, hype on this, they may just walk away from it and say, you know what? It, this is the kind of system that, you know, a president shouldn't be indicted because what kind of system are we going to have? Are we going to start having people run for public offices that are going to be indicted for speculation and mere conjecture without having the benefit of telling another side of a story? That scares me a little bit.
Let me ask you this, and real quick, can juries don't decide on points, or grand juries, do they decide on points of law? I mean, will grand jury look at this and say the statute of limitations is run, therefore we're not going to indict? No? Okay, good.
No, they look merely on the information has been relayed to them through the prosecution, and if the prosecution seems to have proven that there is a probability of an indictment, they go ahead and indict, and that's what it is.
Well, listen, before I let you run, we got about a minute here. Criminal justice reform, what are you working on these days?
You know, I started looking from the cliff now over to the other side of the mountain, and I do get calls from the legislature as far as the senators that I serve with, and they've asked me, is there still an appetite, do you think, in the legislature for some juvenile reforms as it relates to taking things into consideration? We did a lot of stuff when I was there, and I'm very proud of it because I was a criminal lawyer for over 30 years before going to the legislature and then having the benefit of changing those laws that I thought were unjust. And just today, for instance, this is great to hear, I started a conviction integrity unit in Macomb County. I knew that some of those convictions were bad. I knew that, you know, some of the talent as far as the defense lawyers that got these cases didn't have the resources, nor did they have the know-how in trying some of these cases. And I'm proud to say today, Mr. Mac Howell has been released last week, and today we are going to have his press conference because 8 years ago he's locked behind bars. And the evidence today, the technical evidence, the chemistry and physics as well as the DNA shows that it's an impossibility that he committed this crime. And we want to free those instead of keeping them hostage and in unfairness in the justice system. So I'm proud to say this. Any kind of reform that benefits the system, because it's the only system we have to live under it until somebody comes up with a better one. Let's improve it the best we can so that it is just and it is fair.
Peter, we got to leave it there. Peter Lucido, Macomb County prosecutor, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody, if I don't talk to you.
You too. I'm Andrew Langer. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard.
Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right. You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually,
thanks to Smokey.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.